It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Yeah, so it turns out Pearsall was hit in Union Square right by the Dolce & Gabbana store. You go in there a lot?
No. Union Square? Sure.
Yes. Dolce & Gabbana?
Sure.
By the way, to clarify what I was saying, in Texas, with the hatred of California, that's political ads. Yeah. Obviously, going after Kamala Harris as a, as they put it, a California liberal. So this Pearsall story is red meat for people out there.
Yeah. Somebody could stub their toe in San Francisco and it would be, look what California allows happening.
Around 4:13, please remind me, we're going to give away Lakers tickets. Preseason game here in Vegas on October 15th. You can get your tickets at AXS.com. Reno's in. This hour is brought to you by Battleborne Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the number. You got to dial 775 in the north. And multiple offices here in Las Vegas. 766-1400. Big Four time.
Battleborne Injury Lawyers presents The Big Four at Four. Number four.
Yeah, we mentioned that Ricky Pearsall story. Always good to dive a little deeper and actually find out what happened. That is an important thing, right? So while you've got members of the Eagles, we just mentioned it with Steve Kim last hour, complaining about Brazil and safety and they can't leave their hotel, we do need to delve into what Brazil is and what it's been like for events there in the past. This is in Sao Paulo, right?
Yeah.
Has UFC been there a bunch of times?
Yeah, for sure.
They go to Rio. Is there a third city? Fourth?
I think they were at like, they were at Manaus maybe at one point. Okay. I can't, they're at a bunch of different places.
So you know and you've known UFC people.
Sure.
What do they say when they go to Brazil? What's it like?
Mostly they love it. It's great. There's been a couple incidents for sure. My very good friend who you also know was robbed at gunpoint there.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that one. You have so many stories about him, I never got to the robbery story in Brazil story.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, they've definitely encountered things. And they're also under, you know, they have security when they're there. And they stepped out and kind of, you know, like, oh, we're going to do our own thing. We're fine. It looks great. Everything's safe. And then they had an incident. But for the most part, most trips have been uneventful and they've loved it. And I know there's been some discrepancies on this trip too. I mean, what Josh Jacobs had the kind of misspeaking moment a couple months ago when, you know, he went on and he was told, hey, we're not allowed to wear green there because of the gang situation. And then they were like, people flipped out. Like, how are you going to not wear green? Both teams wear green. And I was like, well, that's actually the fans of the opposite soccer team wear green. That's not,
okay.
It's not a safety thing. It's more a respect thing. Like, don't be wearing the colors of the
rival team. So Salerno sent that story over last week.
Yeah.
He's an Eagles fan.
This was like 4 months ago.
He's like, green, what's going on?
Yeah. So that's an old story from Josh Jacobs put that out. Then he came out and he's like, oh, I didn't really ask why not to wear green. I just thought it was a gang thing. So there's been the kind of the you know, back and forth. I think the issue that the NFL is facing is it dangerous? Can be, just like any major city can. The last thing the NFL wants is for their players to be over there and a security incident to happen.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, all the progress they made in terms of international football and relations with all these other countries, you know, slows down or is impacted. So they're basically like, hey, you're going there to play football. Go, stay at the hotel, go play football, come home. Like, that's what they want to do.
And they're probably going over the top, safety-wise, with the words to make sure, hey, do you get this?
100%.
Do you get this?
But then what happens is, and look, as you know, it's the whole machine and the media and everything else, but the security says, hey, we're here for football. Play football. Go to the hotel. Go to sleep. Show up to the game. Play football. Go home. We're going to stay safe. Yeah. And then they come out and they talk, and like Josh Jacobs did. And it's not even – this is not even an attack on the players. It's more like if I'm told that, I'm probably telling my friends too. Like, yo, they said it's so dangerous I can't do anything.
Right.
And then everybody's like, it's that dangerous and they're still going there? Well, no, it's – they're going there with security and they're also going there to be safe and they want to be abundantly safe so that nothing happens, so that they can, you know, have this go off without a hitch. And then, but then the words start, you know, leaking out of, wow, this is really dangerous. Like, it can be, but it's not. And if, as long as everybody's, you know, doing what they're supposed to be doing, it should be fine.
So on the flip side of that, I heard Doug Gottlieb on his show, and I, you know, try to listen. I like that show over on our sister station, Fox Sports Radio, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Sean Merriman was on. So Merriman comes on after they, you know, Gottlieb led in talking about the story, and Merriman's like, I mean, in America, everyone knows in big cities the areas not to go to. Okay, one, I don't in every city. I mean, I try to read up on it.
Sure.
But that's here. I mean, I guess you could read up on Sao Paulo, like, don't go here. You could ask the security folks. The other thing is Gottlieb tried to portray it as a recent development in Brazil. Like, oh, there's been unrest of late. Like, they booked this game 3-4 years ago. Okay, well, to my knowledge, UFC's been going there for, like 8 years. And 8 years ago, there were issues. And by the way, the other cities are like Fortaleza, Brasilia.
Fortaleza.
Yeah. As I said, Fortaleza.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's part of it. Now, to that point, like, I also say there are also parts of other cities internationally that are just like that, where it might be dangerous in certain parts. I will tell you from experience, yes. I recently went to Mexico City.
Yes.
And people freaked out. You're going to Mexico City?
Yes, I wanted to get to that one.
What do you mean you're going to? It's so dangerous.
Where did you stay?
Literally have never felt safer anywhere in my life.
We stayed in a
very nice part of town.
Yeah.
And we were walking late at night all around town, no issues. It was incredible. But yeah, but then it would also be silly of me to be like, Mexico City is the safest place I've ever been. No, the part of town I was in was incredibly safe. I'm fairly willing to wager the part of Sao Paulo that they're going to is going to be very nice.
It's going to be a fortress.
Yes. Like it. So to Merriman's point of like, well, America, there's good parts and bad parts of the city. There too. Every city in the world is that way.
San Fran?
Yeah.
Number 3.
I had to come back to that. I'm sure anyone listening, every time I mention San Francisco, I'm sure they're like, you stayed in a palace. Like, we stayed in a solid area, so. But I wasn't in NFL accommodations, I'll tell you that.
I have a lot of family there, walk around the city all the time.
Well, you and I actually, we were walking around some of the more sketchy areas, but, you know, I'll get robbed at some point and I'll learn my lesson, but I'm sort of fearless. It hasn't happened, so if it hasn't happened, it's not going to happen, right? Nah, it's not the case. Number 3. Cofield and Company, as we are doing the Big 4 at 4 here on a Tuesday. Wow, this is interesting. The Mountain West Conference told Washington State and Oregon State, that's it. You had a deadline. You want to do 2025 with this schedule agreement where you get to play a bunch of Mountain West Conference teams to round out your schedule. Deadline passed. We're out. How do you view this?
I think it's probably a loss to the Mountain West.
Well, I don't think it is for schools like UNLV because I think they will try to aggressively schedule to get at least that level game.
Sure.
But yeah, lower level schools miss out. And I also think before, like, the initial reaction would be like, oh, idiots, you waited too long. They're playing multiple fields. I think both schools feel pretty strongly. They might be wrong.
Well,
it might not work out. I think they feel pretty strongly there's going to be a better partnership alliance, or they'll be gradually scheduled into, say, the Big 12 starting next year. That's what they believe.
Well, then they can't now. They have to wait because of the money situation, that they have to wait to join a conference, and they can't. But, like, to me, this strikes me as, and I'm not criticizing the Mountain West for this because they have to do what they have to do. They have to move on. But I think on the other side, the Pac-2 was given a deadline. The Mountain West, like, decide by this day. They're like, okay, man, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, we're in the power position here. We'll do what we want to do. We'll tell you when we're going to do it. And if you have a deadline for us, fine. We don't need you.
Yeah, if I'm at Mountain West Conference school, I'm not waiting.
No.
I don't want them to wait. And they already kind of – they showed their hand with the whatever alliance they have with men's basketball.
Yeah.
So they're playing all different conferences. Nope. So move on. And, you know, like I don't trust some of the bottom schools in the Mountain West Conference football-wise to go out and schedule aggressively.
No, but
you got to have your schedule set, you know, relatively. Yeah. You got to start working this for next year.
I have no problem with the Mountain West giving them a deadline because they have to move on. But also, I know that the deadline is laughable to Oregon State and Washington State. They don't need it. So they're like, okay, fine. We're getting all of our money anyway. It's nice to have this little scheduling agreement, but we have our money. We're fine. We'll schedule other people.
Number 2.
So with NFL Week 1 coming up, starts on Thursday, we're going to be all over town this football season. Thrilled to be doing so. We love doing road shows. We love being around you guys and the fact that you can come out and see us and watch the show and get good deals on food and drink and prizes. So Monday Night Football every week is going to be at Ellis Island at the Front Yard. So good locals, tourist place. Front yard is dynamite. What a build out. What a facility. The giant screen. There's multiple TVs all over the place. It's a beer garden theme. If you haven't been there, they get their own craft beer. There's a lot of things I'm finding out about Ellis Island. That's pretty freaking cool. They have their own bacon. Yep. Bacon's very important. I'll tell that story someday when I'm allowed to. But yeah, for football, for Sundays and Mondays, they got a $30 all you can drink in the front yard. They're going to have 15 plus beers, so it's not just available. They're not going to have just their beers, which I think are dynamite. They're craft beers, but 15 plus beers to choose from. All you can eat for $45. I was actually over there today and had the brisket sliders. I'm on a brisket kick right now. My God. At some point, I'm going to talk about H-Town. Happy hour every day from 3 to 6, Monday to Friday. $7 bites, $7 drinks. And the great thing is we're there from 3 to 6 doing Monday Night Football, and then we're going to hang around and host a party from 6 to 8. But at the beginning of our show is happy hour. So you get these great deals going into the Monday Night Football game. More information, ellisallencasino.com, ellisallencasino.com. I didn't get to watch Nebraska this weekend. I saw at least a highlight of Dylan Raiola connecting on a deep pass. He's supposed to be the savior. His dad played in the NFL. He committed to like 9 different schools, finally got coaxed as a legacy kid to the Huskers. And we had talked about this a couple weeks ago. Boy, he really is, maybe not as a player yet, but looks-wise, he does look like a Zaptic, kind of chubby Kansas City quarterback.
It's not an accident. He's doing it on purpose.
That's his look?
Yeah.
He looks like Patrick
literally
Mahomes.
He's modeled everything after Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, wow. One thing to throw sidearm. Another is to have the same freaking hairdo. Yeah. The shades are the same.
He's got the form.
Little movie.
Got the form, the accessories. Like, he's trying to be Patrick Mahomes. There's no question about it. And, yeah, as you mentioned, those different platforms like him. His throwing motion is, like, the same. He's modeled everything after Mahomes. And Mahomes obviously took notice, tweeted out during the games, I'm watching you, checking it out. And with some strong emojis and the rocket arm emojis.
Did anyone fire back to both of them a little Kermit sipping tea?
No. I think they've learned their lesson on that. They're going to pay at some point whenever it's time to make them bet.
I haven't. But I'm also a Jets fan. It's a different case. So. Dominant franchise in the AFC. Just high-level confidence. Chiefs or nothing.
For now, yes. We'll see when the season starts if that's the same approach.
Nothing? No one? Nothing? No one could do it? No one has it deep in the throat? No?
No.
Not one?
No.
I hear. Nothing?
Terrible. That's why nobody else would do it.
I gotta go deeper in the chest.
Not good.
We have drops. We gotta be ready with this stuff.
That wasn't good.
Griffin's ready.
Steve, you can't get the Kermit Frog boys right. It's simple. It's just, I'm here. I'm here.
The best way for me to get in the mode is actually like Barney from The Simpsons. So
sure.
Or maybe a Luke Bryan impression. I try.
It's not good either way.
Number one.
A lot of work to do.
Number one.
This was the best Labor Day in the history of sports viewing. What went down at the Luxor yesterday, I cried, I screamed, it was exhilarating, it was emotional. The showdown between Kobayashi and Chestnut, the breakdown is on the way.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Boy, that was going to be a glorious tease going to break, and then Adam's like, not for me. So we'll find out what happened on Labor Day that didn't work out for Adam Hill. Lakers tickets giveaway. Let's do it. Coming up in October, exhibition game against the Golden State Warriors. This is a tradition that goes back years and years and decades. Vegas hosting the Lakers. Oh, no. Oh, no. Are we going to have another microphone fall? Yes, we are. It's gone. That's the third time it's happened. The Jamie legacy just has booby-trapped everything here. I tried to tell him. Adam Hill's mic just going bye-bye. Caller 7-364-1100, 364-1100, Golden State and the Lakers, T-Mobile Arena, October 15th, AXS.com, AXS.com, Lakers and Golden State, LeBron and company in town in Vegas on October 15th at the Fortress. We'll hook you up here in just a couple seconds. Griffin has the tickets. So I guess I shouldn't build up the Netflix eating celebration showdown between Kobayashi and Chestnut before hearing what...
No, that's what I was referring to.
Has you sad about the contest?
Oh, I was infuriated.
I thought it was one of the more glorious celebrations of a sport. I thought overall the whole show blew away anything that Major League Eating has done. They made MLE look like amateurs. And you know what? I respect Rich and George Shea for, you know, jumping on a concept that no one really appreciated. They made it into an entertaining thing. But you saw this one was done so well, it took it to another level. And yet it also made me sad because this was like, listen, we're the number one show in the country when it comes to terrestrial radio show, when it comes to competitive eating. Yeah. We were doing this back in 2005 and 6, and we used to get calls and people were like, and most of our excitement is sort of over the top. I'm not saying it's a bit because I really do like competitive eating and I think these guys are tremendous, but people are like, this is disgusting. And like, relax, there's room for all sports. But as I watched it, it was such a glorious display of two legends, and I tweeted it out. I'm like, we could have had this for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
But these guys, it's all about money. It's all about hot dog sponsorship, believe it or not. To set it up real quick.
Big hot dog.
Chestnut left the Nathan's contest, and that's the last time we're saying it because they don't pay us either, but left that contest over a squabble because he wanted to sign with another food company, International Foods, and I'm sure he offered them a chance to counter, and they chose not to, which means that Major League Eating is like, hey, you can't be involved in our contest. And what they put together yesterday I thought was glorious.
The competition was pretty good in terms of how it was presented and how it went.
How about the results? Kobayashi retired 3 months ago. He's all jacked up. He's old. And then his number freaking steamrolls the winner on the 4th of July. He's the runner-up, gets blown out, and he still destroyed the number. He hasn't eaten a high-level hot dog. He's been at freaking county fairs and behind, you know, auto repair shops.
Yeah.
Eating hot dogs. They bring him on the big stage, and he goes for 67.
Yeah, Kobe was incredible. And Chestnut obviously stepped up his game and was challenged by him. And he said afterwards, first of all, credit to Kobayashi for the biggest factor of yesterday, not shaking hands afterwards.
Yep.
Loved it.
I love that.
Get off stage. Screw you.
Yep.
I don't like you. But that was good.
Woo!
But I was already out by the time the competition started. I thought the presentation was awful. I was infuriated.
You're such a weirdo.
By how it was going. It was terrible. And by the way, Kerry Champion, I'm done with you. You are out. Don't take the paycheck and then mock the event, and including when you're going over the rules, chuckling and laughing.
Yeah.
Rules. Yes. It's an athletic. You are covering an athletic competition. I don't see you're not on the air laughing at the rules of basketball or football
with millions of dollars being waged on it.
Yeah.
Which you know, I'm going to go back, and I was nice about it at the time because you have all these nerds out there who genuflect at the feet of certain broadcasters. Jeremy Schapp was not good. And he also was laughing and not taking it seriously. And I thought of him immediately with Kerry Champion, which, listen, Adam, it's a casual audience they're trying to draw in. It's not a hardcore audience. I noticed what she was doing.
No,
I think she did the classic. I'm trying to – is there someone here I can rip for this?
Yes, but you can't say it. It's
no,
fine.
No. But what happens in and I get caught doing it, and I've tried to over the years, I'm like, no, you're deflecting for your weakness when you don't know a sport, you didn't prep, then even when you're getting a paycheck, you cover by kind of laughing at it. Like, hey, I know this is a little beneath me. Don't take it too seriously. Like, if you didn't want to do it, don't do it.
Exactly.
I thought Chris Rose was good. Rob Riggle is in his role. I thought he had some good jokes. Is that a Bella twin?
Yeah, it was.
What was her first name? Was that Nikki?
It was Nikki.
Okay.
Nikki Garcia. She can't use Bella anymore.
Is she that skinny before? Did they wrestle? Or they were only reality?
No.
I don't even know what their background
is. They were wrestlers.
Okay, she looked she's pretty svelte.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I thought the weenie contest with Stoney against three Olympic swimmers was tremendous. Now, I pointed out, if Netflix has the opportunity to grab anyone they want, like Stoney doesn't do MLE anymore because I think he got tired of the politics and the lack of pay. Miley Schuyler is the number one wing eater in the world. She's a woman from Southeast, was she Ohio or Pennsylvania, whatever. She won the Wing Bowl multiple times. I'm like, get her in it. So I thought that would have been a nice addition there. Male, female against three swimmers. Like, the male and female are separate.
Yeah.
Stoney did 53 wings in 3 minutes. That was awesome. Incredible.
And the athletes were like, wow, blown away. And I think those were the parts. That part and the lady from England setting the record.
You like the watermelon?
That's how to bring in the casual audience.
Right.
When it's time for a competition that many people have waited for almost 2 decades.
Yes. Look at how mad he's getting.
The goofiness and the silliness. And I was out on Riggle, too. By the way, because he tried to be serious at times, but his trying to be serious, he was like a funny way of being serious.
Yeah.
Like, give me somebody who's going to take it actually seriously.
We love the sport.
You're taking a check.
Yep.
Like, you are cashing that check.
Didn't you think that Eater X brought some real legitimacy to it? The science of
phenomenal.
Eating, I thought he was awesome.
Phenomenal.
Yep.
But go to him more.
Yes.
He was the one that actually bring information. And I thought, even for a casual audience, you were like, oh, okay, there's actual science to this. There's athleticism to it. There's practice. There's training. There's methods, all these things. And he was doing a great job of explaining them. Great job. Good job bringing him on. Way too long. We waited for him till the competition's actually starting. Like, let's get him on.
And also, the
wasted opportunity for intros. Yeah. It's like, here they are.
It was very muted.
Like, no, they are the main event.
Yeah.
Focus on them, not the goofy, silly stuff.
I thought the storytelling going in was pretty interesting.
This is how Netflix is going to do sports. Don't get into sports.
See, I thought the opposite. I thought they did well, and the NFL is in good hands. None of these – Riggle might be part of it. Chris Rose could.
Yeah. If Kerry champions it, I'm out.
I'll tell you, one of the best parts for me, because I thought the competition was unreal, and like I said, Kobayashi's a hero. Boy, oh boy. I have the best lady friend in the world, the SO. I was watching. We have like a setup in the house with two TV rooms. So if I'm going to watch sports, I'll go watch in the room, one room, and shift. She doesn't want to watch. She'll watch in the other. And I turned it on. She could hear it. She's like, oh, I'll watch it in here. And then she starts watching it and she's like, you know, this is kind of ridiculous. And then she watched. And I just go, I'm telling you right now, the hot dog contest itself is kind of gross. And she watched and was like 8 minutes in. She's like, wow, I can really see why you like this. I was like, yeah!
I will say.
Give it. You know what? All I ask for from people, and I try to live this way too, and this show's not the greatest at it, but just give stuff a chance. And like she actually respected the competitors. I told her about. Then she sees like Kobayashi fans are crying.
Yeah.
Which I almost started crying.
The praying during the contest.
Oh, it was so awesome.
I
love that guy. And you know what? It's not for me. It's not even like I love Kobayashi and I hate Chestnut. No, yeah. I respect both of them. Yeah. And this should have been something that was on the big stage for 15 friggin' years. And they screwed it up.
Yep.
And now I hope Chestnut. I mean, I think his ask for an appearance fee next year starts at $500,000 at the 4th of July.
Yeah.
I don't even care if – for him, I don't even care if Netflix steps up to do another contest. I don't know what they're going to do. Because that's the other thing. He ate 83 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Do you – I don't know. What do? You bring in a bear? Like, who's going to go against him?
That would be great. I'd watch that.
Right.
So you have people mocking it and not taking it seriously on the broadcast.
May as well make it a circus show.
I would
– real sport, folks. Yeah,
it is a legitimate competitive sport, and I didn't think it was treated with the gravity that it deserved.
The gravity. Wow. Yeah.
It was a matchup.
I don't think gravity is the right word.
It is. It was a matchup that people have waited for 15 years.
Life and death.
And it was great. The competition was great. You would have. It was almost, you know, Mayweather Pacquiao-ish. You wish both were at their primes when they actually competed.
Yep.
And one was more in their prime, and obviously was going to win.
Yep.
Like there's no question who was actually going
to
win.
How many times? And you know, my reference to talking about this back in 2005 and 6. How many times did we make a reference to Pac-Man and Mayweather not fighting forever? They fought late in their careers. It was a dud. They should have fought five times.
Yeah. Exactly. We would have had this. It would have been great. Now, the one I would say I wish Kobe – I like that he shaved his head right before the competition. Like, I'm in. I'm locked in. This is what it's about.
I can't believe you did 67.
I didn't love him wearing all black because it like everything showed. Like all of the crumbs, all of the slobber, all of the water, everything was just covering it.
Okay, a couple other things real quick. The fact that they made them eat the buns and it was not at all a deterrent. They mastered the bun eating instantly. They both crushed buns. By the way, I'm not a disliker of the Mart, but those were great value buns. Not Aunt Hattie's potato bun or whatever. I get good stuff.
That would have been too heavy. Great value.
There's a chalkiness to like the real.
Yeah, but they are smaller.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did that.
I think they fall apart on their own. You don't need to dump
the hot dogs were a little bigger.
Yeah. I thought they were smaller.
What a special day.
They felt smaller.
They felt smaller?
Yeah. Looked smaller in their hands.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think we're going to find out on 4th of July without one of these guys. I don't think they're ever coming back. Which, hey, they made their bed. They got to lie in it. They got to lie in it with Bertoletti and these other people who are doing 54 hot dogs. Good luck.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Now we're brought to you by Battle Warrant Injury Lawyer, 768-1400, the call-in number anywhere in the state of Nevada. Adam Hill, Cofield, Griffin. Is that enough? 10 minutes? At least today? On the unfinished beef on Netflix with Kobayashi and Chestnut. Believe me, we could go on forever.
I did think the name was good.
I like that.
Unfinished beef worked.
I like that a lot. Why is Asia Wilson only wearing white t-shirts?
She is waiting until the team is playing more consistently and she herself is doing more to help them win. She said, you know, there was a day where I was like, I'm spending so much time on figuring out what to wear and what am I, you know, how am I going to arrive at the arena? Nope. Just grab a t-shirt from the bottom of the drawer, put it on. This is about winning and finding ways to win. Obviously, she's doing enough individually, but there's more you can do as a team to try to find ways to win. And they've looked better the last couple of games, so we'll see if they can figure it out. I've thought all along that they're going to be able to put it together as soon as the playoffs start. But, you know, she wants a more consistent effort, especially on the defensive end from her and her teammates, and maybe she changes that when it comes around. And obviously, since not everyone around the country is doing it, I will – make sure to give credit to Callie Lawson Freeman, who's an incredible writer who did a great story and a lot of people stole. So good on her for getting this and talking to Asia about it and getting it out there.
That's the crux of the story?
Yeah.
And then who do you see stealing it?
Oh, everyone. I mean, well, SportsCenter did it, for one.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this came from, you know, a reporter in Vegas, but it was on a lot of different sites, a lot of different blogs. A couple actually put the link out, but many didn't. So, you know.
This is going to sound condescending. It's not. It's a compliment. But Callie's covering UNLV football at the same time.
Yeah.
Her questions at the press conferences are very good.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
They're very good. They're always. It's always different angles than I think a lot of us are thinking.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting. Did you watch some of the UNLV football press conference with Barry Odom on Monday?
Yeah.
Chris Matthews asked a good question, and he got a great answer.
Good.
And then every other TV station on the market took the answer and didn't give him credit.
Oh, that's fine. That's at a press conference, it's a press conference. Mm. That's why you don't ask your good questions at press conferences and why teams need to stop having only press conferences for availabilities. But
Are you good on my stuff that when I ask a question, I send it out and I say, Odom told me, though he said it to 27
obnoxious.
People. What do you mean?
It's obnoxious. Press conferences are domain of everyone. It's why they're useless in my mind for the most part.
Wasn't this the whole thing with The Athletic where they accused you guys of plagiarism? No, yeah. Not plagiarism. We're sticking
not,
the...
Not me. But yeah, other people in
you guys.
My building. Yeah.
You guys.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, press conferences are interesting.
Yeah.
So are you suggesting that when people... What's that?
Plagiarism at a press conference is...
That's what it was, right?
Yes. Huh. It's a wild accusation.
Well, we've pretty much banned that site from coming on. Every once in a while we book some writers, sure. But...
Oh, I had to, believe me, one of them came at me the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
Do tell. Not worth it? Ready? What's the motion? What's the motion? No, what's the motion? Here, ready? What is that? What is that motion?
What, blow it up?
No, it does look like I'm hitting a plunger. Yeah. No, I'm punching down.
Oh, sure.
And I'm going side to side. That's, don't punch down. You told me that a long time ago. Don't punch down.
Yeah.
Or up. Or even sideways. Be nice.
You know, I'm obviously friends with somebody that works there, and they were like, how come I'm on every show in the market except yours? Like, it's fair.
Oh, we'll have to talk about their going break. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, it might not have as much to do with the individual, but.
Sure.
I don't know. There's been, it's The Athletic. There's been just weird things with them.
Well, also, we don't like having guests that do every other show in the market.
That's actually the most accurate thing.
Which is what I told them.
I saw someone. Oh, I was offered.
And then his response was, so am I supposed to say no to everybody? I was like,
No, we just find someone else.
Sure.
Like, I have a friend.
Also,
who,
we don't really need Raiders guests.
No, we have a lot of people covering Raiders. I was talking to a friend who's a PR guy, and he had Sean Merriman, and I'm like, five other shows are going to have Sean Merriman on this week at Lotus Broadcasting. So, you know, I'm not going to tell all the producers here to lift a finger and get new numbers, but. Yeah.
We like to bring the people new voices.
We love developing new voices, right? That's one of the best things about football season is bringing on new voices. We're going to bring on one of our classic voices next. I hope he won money this weekend. College football, that wasn't easy. Sam Paniadovich on the way.
Sports gambling insider Sammy P joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Yep, it is that time of the day. High on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, south of Tropicana. Sammy P has our Tuesday spot, and he's up with Adam and Cofield. Sam, what's up, buddy?
What an interesting partnership. My segment with the segment sponsored by Oasis. It was meant to be.
Yes. I like, and I'm sure you like, to pitch places that you actually like, you have a passion for. That's all of our clients. So we have a really good list of people who have partnered with us, and Oasis is another one. So we're actually going to be out there every other Tuesday doing live shows as well. So they're fired up about that from 3 to 6. So our good friend Johnny was like, man, I get to listen to the show right here. Like, yes, you do. Yes, you do.
You know, I'm going to have to find a Tuesday to get out there. I've been prone to drink like a dog in there sometimes. it's okay. I mean, we've all been there, right? I've seen, in fact, I'm not going to name names because I don't do that. But I've seen several people in there that were tuned up. Great bartenders in there. But you know what's crazy? I've been to Oasis in my life probably 50 times, maybe more. You would never think the food would be good in there if you drove by. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dynamite food. Yes, absolutely.
The food is unbelievable there, and you would never think that driving by.
Did you win on Kobe and Chestnut?
So we did your show, obviously, a week ago today, and I was a little hesitant on Kobayashi's number, which at the time was 49.5. However, I went on a show in Chicago called Section 108. It's a podcast that I go on from time to time. And guess who they had on right before I came on? Patrick Bertoletti, the guy who won this year's Nathan's contest. He's a Southside guy. So I asked him point blank. I said, what's up with these numbers? 62.5, 49.5. And I kid you not, he said, ship the overs.
Wow.
Ship them both. And he said, they are going to fly over this. And here's, it's so funny because when we break down hot dog eating contests, oftentimes we overlook the obvious. Because you and I had discussed the buns. Were they good? Were they not? Steve, this was an indoor eating event. I mean, usually they eat outside in 95-degree weather. This was indoors. Yep. It was probably air-conditioned.
It was. Yep. You're right. I didn't put that in the handicap. Perfect conditions. Perfect conditions.
He ate 80 hot dogs.
It's crazy. 83! It's insane. He crushed.
Don't disrespect
him. He crushed the record, and the buns were nothing. Like, I was all worried about the dunking. The buns are like, yeah, we'll dunk them ourselves in our mouth with water. They were drenched with water. But the other thing is, you know, when you do a handicap like this, I forget that, like, they don't just show up on the day and start eating hot dogs. They really do train. So I'm sure they were like, hey, this is the way to take in the water and smush the buns a little bit. And he, I mean, it was incredible. 150 hot dogs!
Looking back, we really did. We screwed the pooch on this one. Yep. Because we failed to realize. And look, we didn't tell people to take the under. I'm just saying I wish we would have thought a little bit longer and harder about how, A, it was indoors, so easier to eat when it's not sweltering hot outside. B, this guy was told by Nathan's he couldn't eat this year. Yep. We don't want you here. Of course he was going to come out and eat over 62.5.
Max motivation. Anger, max motivation. I swear to God. The other thing is I looked at him and I was like, did he file down his teeth and the fangs? Like his teeth, he looked like a monster.
It's still, I hear Adam Hill in the background. It's still, can we all agree, it's still the grossest event to watch on television. It is disgusting.
Oh, Sam, you just missed 10 minutes of Adam being all mad about the presentation and that they didn't take the sport seriously.
Yeah. They made it a goof. It's not a goof. It's a serious competition.
Oh, the anger. It's so great.
Laughing at the rules? Really?
Oh, you know what I want to bring up? And I meant to text you this. Sam, because I thought they outshined MLE in the presentation, Major League Eating, by a mile. The other thing is they watched at what happened year to year with the count at the 4th of July contest. It's a mess. They're checking their shoes for debris. They're weighing any extra hot dog and other debris on a scale. I was like, this is officially official. This is what we need for betting.
It's a lot easier to regulate the event when you only have two contestants.
Okay.
And the other part, they were basically sitting, the fans at least, were sitting in theater seating. So, I mean, they were probably in nice reclining chairs kicking back, and that arena probably held a good amount of people. I didn't exactly check where it was, but I mean, it looked like it was very spaced out and comfortable. And you know, the worst part about the Coney Island event is that you have maniacs right up against the table, and we've seen a couple PETA protesters spraying fake blood. You got people screaming in their face. It's again 90-95 degrees on 4th of July weekend on Coney Island. It's a lot more hectic and a lot tougher to control the room, or the lack of room, rather, because you're outside. I imagine it's much easier to control this indoor two-person contest.
It was the esports venue over at Luxor, so a great venue, obviously, for a historic event, fitting of two of the great athletes of all time. And you're right, and I will applaud them for getting much better in terms of the officiating. That was legit, and that was good, and that was hopefully something that will come to the, you know, the bigger contest.
Sammy P. By the way, I got to give you credit because you come right out here and you're like, all right, you know what? Didn't nail a handicap on this one. I like that. And I assume that's a lot of what you guys are doing. You know, you're hitting both sides. If you win, you win. If you lose, you lose. It's not covering up your losses in this show that you're doing. Tell people on BetQL, well, one, where they can find it, the time of the show, and how it's been so far.
They can just get the Odyssey app, AUDACY, and we're on social at BetQL Daily. Funny you bring up wins and losses, and this is not possible to sustain. But my picks and Chicken Dinner's picks, coincidentally, are the same record, wink, wink, 5-1 through six football picks, which, again, it's not possible. You know, I think we know some people that would say, I'm 5 out of 6. Wait till you see what I got ahead this weekend. I'm going to change nothing. I'm going to handicap the same way. I'm going to move my numbers the same way. I hope I go 5-1 every week, but it's impossible. I mean, to hit over 80% in football, college and pro, is impossible. The best hit 60, if that. Maybe some people hit more, but the more you play, the more likely you are to get closer to 50%. So I'm happy with the way it started. You know, more importantly, it's a show. It should be entertaining and informative and educational. If you hit picks at 55%+, awesome. That's a cherry on top, but I'm more excited about our conversations and, you know, having these chats because, I did a TV show out here in Boston. It was 30 minutes. Well, with commercials, it's 22 and there's three hosts. So you get, 7 minutes, a half hour, then you're done. It's not enough time to talk about what you have to talk about and what you want to talk about. So that's the best part. It's 3 hours with two guys that bet, that know what's going on, that have, you know, been gambling on games for 20-plus years. And one of those guys, me, lived in Vegas to spend time with bookmakers and guys like Kenny White. So it's a great show, but it's not about wins and losses. It's about process and about making the right bets.
We're very heavy on promotion today. Kenny White actually is going to be our every Friday guest. So I'm looking forward to that. He's going to be our 444 Ion Sports Gambling presented by Oasis Bar and Grill. He'll be our guest every Friday, Kenny White. Okay, I look at the college card and – while I was predicting over the summer, hey, that Michigan is going to fall a bit. They're not going to be a great team this year. We'll see. 7.5 does look weird at home against Texas.
Yeah, and I got guys on X telling me that the public is going to push this line to 8-9. And I'm thinking that that is not how it works. The public doesn't move lines like that. The public mostly parlays. I mean, my buddy Dan was in town over the weekend, and he, you know, every bet I gave him, he didn't win because he parlayed it with four other things. I went 5-1. He went 0-6. You do the math. So the public is not going to move a line from 7.5 to 8 to 9, especially considering the summer line was 3.5 and Circa opened 5. The sharps have already bet. They bet from 5 to 7 and maybe some late 7.5. It'll come back. If it gets to 8, which I don't know that it will, it's coming back. You know, some guys I know made this game Texas 1, Texas 2. Michigan has an extreme home field advantage. There's going to be 100,000 people in that building. You know, last week Texas plays at home against a really bad Colorado State team and is able to run it up because they dominated the trenches. You're not going to dominate Michigan's O-line or D-line. And, you know, in the summer, on the open, this line was pick 'em, basically. Texas won, give or take. Now you're going to lay 7.5. No way, man. This is going to be the most public side. It's a primetime game. Well, not a primetime, but a nationally televised game. This is going to be a game where you're going to see 8 of every 10 tickets on Texas. And if you want to be on that side, by all means, go for it. Doesn't mean it's going to lose, but I would be on Michigan because I'm not betting a team. I'm betting a number. And the fact that it's through 7, to me, is just crazy.
Yeah, to back that up, I will say I laid 6. I think Michigan's atrocious. As a Michigan fan, I think they're a terrible football team. Not even not good. So I laid the 6, but there's no way I'd lay 7, and certainly wouldn't lay 7.5 for all the reasons that you highlighted. But I do think Michigan is awful.
Hold on. What's the final score? Let's play this game. What's the first score that comes into your head?
Somebody asked me that the other day, and I actually said I actually said 31-13. But for all the reasons you're right, like just because I think that's the final score doesn't mean I'd be willing to lay that number. I do think Michigan has a chance of keeping it close. They are good in the trenches. They are. They can play on the line of scrimmage. Now, their creativity is gone. They have no idea what they're doing. They're clueless offensively right now. Maybe they just didn't call anything. That's possible. But you watch the game back. I watched it 2 times. I don't know what their plan is anywhere. They are a team kind of in disarray right now. But again, I guess the hope is if you're a Michigan fan, they just said, we are going out there. We're not going to do anything because we're saving everything for Texas in week 2. I hope that's what it was.
Sam, your score?
It's not to say that I'm not nervous about the bet. I'm terrified going against Texas. But if you bet the right numbers over time, you come out exactly more than even in the wash. And I know the game plan. Doesn't mean it's going to work. The game plan is to go up early with a Donovan Edwards touchdown, go up 7-0. You know, make a couple of stops on defense, force a fumble, get a pick, and then you just coast and you sit on top. You coast with the lead. They fall behind 14-0, they're not going to win. Interesting move today on the total. This total was 47 last night, about 8 o'clock Eastern. 43.5 this morning. So the biggest position has not been on Texas. It's been on the under.
We got a minute left. Sam Panayotovich is with us, Cofield and Company. He's doing shows with BetQL, still writing for Fox Sports. In this final minute, we do our picks on Wednesday and Thursday for the NFL, but how about you start us off? Are you going back to the well with Kansas City? What are you going to do for Super Bowl?
Yeah, I've got them 6-1 to win it all. My favorite bet is Eagles 7-1 NFC. We've talked about this for a couple of weeks. I did bet an Eagles Chiefs exact the box at 30-1, so they both have to make it. That's it for picks. I'm going to take probably the Colts and Survivor, and I'm flying in Friday. Maybe we go to Oasis on Saturday, and then I got to do a show for Mandalay Bay on Sunday. So this could be a crazy weekend for us. I'm doing one of those sneak attacks, so maybe I'll see you around the horn.
I heard that. All right, Sam, we'll see you soon, buddy.
All right, let's go Michigan.
Damn, Adam.
Hope it's true. I hope that's
very
true.
Harsh. Are you pulling a reverse jinx, or you really believe this?
No, I think Michigan stinks. Not as bad as Houston, because I think that line should be like 40, but yes. I think Michigan stinks.
I told you all summer. I don't think they stink, but I told you all summer. I told everyone I could. As soon as they make the playoff, not make the playoff, comes out on Michigan, play the no. And now you throw in, I mean, we could have anticipated this. You throw in all the nonsense with the NCAA and looming suspensions and distractions. Could be a long season. Long season of Michigan, 7 or 8 wins. It'll be okay.